Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us on the line from back there in Kentucky, Colonel Ron Ray. And Colonel Ray is a retired Marine Corps colonel. He was Assistant Secretary of Defense in the Reagan administration. He's on the front lines of this battle to defend American values against the attack of those who would destroy us. And recently there was an effort to disrupt the military by actually outlawing the prayers that were given during the meals at the Virginia Military Institute. Now, certainly, why will men fight and risk their lives? Well, it has always been a belief in God that has been the fundamental belief of the American military, and why are men fought so well and so bravely? But there are those who would destroy our military, and one of the best ways to do it is to destroy the religious faith upon which our military is based. Colonel Ray, thank you so much for being with us.
Dan, it's always a privilege and a pleasure to be with you, and you usually have the best informed audience of all the talk radio I do around the country. I found that your audience is always ready to hear things and understand the context better than most do.
Well, thank you so much. I think we're blessed to have the audience that we do have, the people all across America looking for answers. And tell us about the VMI case, of what happened and the significance of what has happened.
Well, if your listeners don't know that prior to 9/11, the American Civil Liberties Union and their funders decided to go after prayer in the military, and they brought a lawsuit. They suborned a couple of cadets who were willing to be party to it, and they brought a suit prior to 9/11 against the Virginia Military Institute, which a number of years ago, 6 or 8 years ago, went through an enormously expensive and painful attack on its men-only policy, which had existed at VMI since 1839, and they'd won in the lower court. They'd won in the Court of Appeals, and Ruth Bader Ginsburg issued gleefully an opinion. The former general counsel to the ACLU issued an opinion against the VMI that ordered them to put women in the, and it has begun to change the character of VMI just as it had done the same thing in all the service academies. But that it took a lot out of their alumni, and it took a lot out of them. So the notion of getting at prayer in military officer training has been on the ACLU agenda for a long time, and they finally picked their target, and they filed the lawsuit alleging a violation of the separation of church and state. Let your listeners understand that the taking prayer out of the public school system applied only at when people were in primary or secondary schools, even though that was an edict in 1962 without any authority for it. No court in the country has ever applied the limitation to college, a public college or university. So this was a stunning thing for them to do. It was reaching out to legislate in the new area through the courts to go after a college that was also a military college, and under our system of law, the military is governed by very different standards than the other public institutions of our society.
All right, I think it's so important that people understand that the military is under attack. These people aren't concerned about prayer. They want to destroy religious belief. That's what the Supreme Court set out to do back in 1947 and then again in 1962 with England versus Vitale. And they're doing a pretty good job of this. But here, well, you're going to be surprised to hear what the Supreme Court's decision was on the VMI decision. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Colonel Ron Ray, a retired Marine Corps colonel. He's a lawyer. He was Assistant Secretary of Defense under the Reagan administration. And he's on the front lines of the various battles to defend against those who would destroy the religious foundation of America, who would really destroy America. Because don't think for one minute the ACLU is interested in individual freedom. They realize that our freedom rests upon the religious precepts, these ideas that our freedom comes from God. Destroy these precepts of God, you destroy America. And that's what it's really all about, going all the way back to Roger Baldwin, who founded the ACLU, and he was a dedicated communist. So let's get on into the VMI decision. And Colonel Ray has been on the front lines of this battle. And, of course, through his organization, First Principles, we'll tell you how to get in touch with that later. But the ACLU had filed a brief to force VMI, which is a public school, but it is also a military academy. So it comes under a different sense of law than the regular schools do. And, Colonel, why don't you pick up this story? And remember, we have some listeners here who just joined us.
That's great. And I would tell you that that's a great point, because they don't teach you that in the military, and they don't teach you that in law school, that the United States military is governed by a judicial deference standard. That is, the courts defer to what the admirals and generals say are necessary to equip, train, select, promote, for combat readiness, what we need to have our forces ready to, as the Constitution said, provide for the common defense. Now, what was interesting was that after 9/11, while I was interested in this case, I genuinely believed that the case would not be prosecuted. I could not imagine, with a so-called war in the homeland and the greatest national security failure in the history of the country, the Pentagon was attacked successfully, and the New York was attacked successfully. I thought that if there was ever a time when the ACLU would reveal its real anti-American, anti-Christian bias, that it would do that, and that they would let this case go until this all quieted down, might even have taken what's known as a voluntary non-suit. Not at all. They aggressively prosecuted this case before a Clinton-appointed federal judge in Lynchburg, Virginia, who ordered them to stop the 150-year-old practice at VMI of praying before each meal. And this was a fairly non-sectarian prayer, praying for family, for the Corps, for the nation, for the military leadership at VMI. And I want you to understand the anomaly here, the irony here, that immediately after 9/11, the President of the United States, as in every crisis throughout our history, going back to George Washington as Commander-in-Chief.
Hold that thought for just a minute when we other stations join us. All right, and of course, Colonel Ray was talking about how immediately after 9/11, why the President of the United States began to rally the people behind the flag and behind God, and was pick up the story there. And of course, the ACLU had already brought this suit against VMI, and Colonel Ray thought that, well, you know, they're certainly going to drop this suit now that we're involved in a war. But pick up the story there.
Well, I will, and so the President called the Congress and the American people to pray for the country and to rally the forces. He basically said, and this is what the President said. He said, "The blessing and protection of heaven are at all times necessary, especially so in times of public distress and danger." And I think that's he said, "Our country was founded by great and wise people who were fluent in the language of humility, praise, and petition." And so if he's calling the nation to prayer while the ACLU is trying to eliminate prayer at the Virginia Military Institute, which has been, for people like Chesty Puller went there, people like George Patton went there before he went to West Point, people like Stonewall Jackson, George Marshall, who was the Chief of Staff of the Army and Secretary of State, these are leaders of this country who came out of there, all of whom said the importance of prayer was essential. And the ACLU prosecuted the case. The court issued an order directing them to cease to pray, never once mentioning what was going on in Washington and how the nation had been called to prayer, and how ironic that was. And it was appealed to the Fourth Circuit, the most conservative circuit in the country, according to the major newspapers in the country. And the court, the three-judge panel that was selected, upheld the Clinton-appointed judge. The prayer was out. A petition to hear from all the judges was denied 6-6. Six federal judges, appeals judges, wanted to overturn that case, but it was 6-6 tie because Bush had confirmed a holdover Clinton temporary appointed judge, and Bush confirmed, got him confirmed in the Senate. He could get a Clinton-appointed judge confirmed. He just can't get his own judges confirmed.
Well, I think it would be, we have to ask ourselves why, when we vote for a Republican president, why he would have one of Clinton's judges confirmed. We thought that, you know, if we just got the Republicans into power, why we could change the Supreme Court. That's because most people don't understand that 7 of our 9 Supreme Court justices came from the Republican Party nominees. They were all nominated by the Republicans. So maybe this whole thing that we're being told over and over again by our Christian leaders and by our conservative leaders and by our Republican leaders, maybe it just ain't so.
Well, you know, there's a bumper sticker I've seen increasingly around Kentucky. I don't know if it's national or just local. There's a bumper sticker that says Republicans, the other Democratic Party. Anyway, what happened was that the Attorney General of Virginia, And I represented Tom Moore and the Naval Aviation Foundation, the Coalition of American Veterans, as well as First Principles, and we together petitioned the Supreme Court to hear this crucial case, and I characterized it as a time of national security crisis, and gave them the history of prayer going all the way back. We found 63 prayer books that had been distributed to our fighting forces in time of war going all the way back. The first one I found was 1774. Distributed to the Continental Army even before the Declaration of Independence, and right on down to the Vietnam War when it begins to taper off. Not because anybody said it was wrong, it just wasn't the practice. Well, the Supreme Court heard this petition. Now, we were just asking for the court to hear the case, and they issued an order about 30 days ago declining to hear the case. And the major media told everybody that the Supreme Court has said that prayer at VMI has got to stop, and they're not going to hear the case, and that prayer's got to stop at VMI. And by the way, the ACLU demanded during the pendency of the case that the Naval Academy stop its prayer. And the Naval Academy, with our research and materials, told them to go take a long walk off a short pier. But the Citadel down in Charleston, which is almost as old as the VMI, took prayer out without getting involved in a fight. But the case that came down 30 days ago, while the media reported it that way, while James Dobson and Focus on the Family and Jay Sekulow, the American Center for Law and Justice, and other conservative pro-family sources echoed the same line that the major media, the Associated Press, did.
And the ACLU,
right. And the American Jewish Committee, and the B'nai B'rith, and the Anti-Defamation League, and the Citizens for United for Separation of Church and State, those groups that had supported the ACLU, they all trumpeted this as this great setback for prayer in a military institute. But the court actually said that VMI was not a party. They'd sued the former superintendent, who was no longer there. The cadets had graduated, and they said there's no injunction presently barring VMI from reinstituting the supper prayer. So this is a case where, sadly, the Supreme Court didn't agree to hear this case and overturn a terrible precedent that's on the books from the Fourth Circuit. But the good news is, if VMI is willing, the court is saying there's nothing in the injunction presently existing which would bar VMI from reinstituting the supper prayer. So, and perhaps it was a better outcome than they would have gotten if the case had been fully briefed and fully argued before the court, and Ruth Bader Ginsburg would have had another shot at the Virginia Military Institute. But there is a terrible precedent on the books, and we're eager to see whether VMI, which has already had its graduation, whether they're going to reinstitute the prayer when they begin again in the fall. And we're certainly encouraging them to do so, and we're hopeful that they will do that and gain that ground back, so that there'll always have to be an asterisk by this decision, which for the first time in the United States not only attacks prayer at the officer level training, it attacks prayer for the first time at the college and university level, and could be cited certainly in the Fourth Circuit, but elsewhere across the country, they could the ACLU and these other forces that are after taking any notion of one nation under God out of our society to attack prayer at the college level, where the where only adults are there because they want to, and the court has never gone this far before. So this is a an errant ship on the judicial sea, as one justice said some years ago.
Well, I think what people have to understand is what the First Amendment says. Congress will make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Now, how do they get around to that, to taking prayer out of school? Why, you have a Luciferian influence in our courts. And when you understand that, you understand everything that's going on today. And you understand why it is that so many of our good ministries, which have wonderful people in them, but I believe they've, many of them have been infiltrated by these same forces, are telling you exactly the opposite happened from what really did happen with this decision, because in many ways this was really a victory for the good guys, wasn't it?
Well, there's no question. It's one of those, it's an anomaly. It's really, I mean, there was a lot of people praying for VMI and praying for this case. This is an advisory opinion. The Supreme Court doesn't give advisory opinions. They said in the, ordinarily they just say, we'll take the case, no reason stated. It takes four justices to want to actually hear an oral argument in a fully briefed case. At least four have to want to do it. In this case, they actually said, we're not going to hear it, but we're not going to hear it. We're going to tell you why and tell you that VMI can go ahead and do what it was doing before. Now, that doesn't mean that the ACLU and these other forces would not sue them again, but they've been given this opportunity, and sadly, the media, both conservative, both Christian, pro-family, as well as the secular media, have misled so many people. I wrote a letter to Jay Sekulow and copied Tom Menery and Jim Dobson to try to get them to set the record straight, and I haven't heard from any of them.
Well, of course, that's the difficulty, is because the good guys don't have much of a voice except through the alternative radio, and the mainline Christian radio is going one direction, and the alternative's trying to tell you the truth. So, and I'm not reflecting at all on Jim Dobson. I think he's the most wonderful guy in the world, and I know him personally. I met him and talked with him on several occasions, but unfortunately, I believe that there are forces within that ministry, and I've pointed this out to Jim Dobson personally, that are going just the opposite from the way that he wants to go.
Well, I just think it's so important. I mean, we don't, when we, so many times what the media says is misleading. There's a media monopoly, and you and I have just discussed it, and I've briefed many of our leaders on that particular subject before. But the point is, when they follow the lead of the secular media without examining it themselves carefully, or if somebody does it and you alert them to it, then you'd want to correct the record because it's too daggone important. And in fact, a little bit of media treatment would help the VMI officials and the people, the officials in Virginia, to do the right thing about this. But let me say this. What came out of this case was that the history of prayer got on the table. I hope if your listeners would like to see, we actually went through every a presidential inaugural address going back to George Washington, from George W. to George W., as I've said before, and we found out that 100% of our presidents have recognized the existence of our Creator, recognized His government, and asked through prayer and petition, 100%, including Bill Clinton in both of his inaugural addresses.
I'm surprised that there wasn't a bolt of lightning that came down and got him. But
he asked that the divine providence would be with his administration, and that's how they began their administrations. And we were giving out these prayer books to our military in every crisis throughout our history, and regularly doing it right up through to the beginning of the Vietnam War, when, again, our society began to quit doing things as a matter of custom, even though there was no change in the law or lawfulness of it. I think that many things fell by the wayside as a matter of custom that has hurt us a great deal by people quitting doing things because they think they're wrong, or they get a wrong notion from what the Supreme Court said in that school prayer case or what have you.
And, of course, what the media tells them, when we get back... Ron, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get your material. I know you've got some sort of a little book there, which I have, which goes into all these books and all the prayers that were made by all of our presidents, and I think that's something that everybody should get. I think it's outstanding. And if you understand that this is part of our heritage as a nation, that heritage which they're working so very hard and strenuously to destroy today.
Have you ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam, in Korea? Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in Russia, in Siberia, at the end of the Second World War? Have you ever wondered what really happened at Oklahoma City, what really happened with TWA 800 that went down off the eastern coast about a year ago? Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of the subjects are well covered in a fascinating book by Craig Roberts entitled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, order The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working on the Oklahoma City bombing. Now, this book has been suppressed very effectively across America, and it's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book I know that'll give you more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. A secret of healthy aging was recently found among people who have lived unusually long, healthy lives. The longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, as well as the Queen Mother of England, who lived 100 years, outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, was their daily consumption of red wine. But health authorities have been reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large until now. Longevinex is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, without the calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule provides the red wine molecules found in 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Leading edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and let me tell you right at this moment that there is going to be a conspiracy conference. It's going to be this coming weekend over in Santa Clara, and if you'd like more information about it, the number to call is 209-832-0999. That's 209-832-0999. Now, I found that Kathy and O'Brien and Mark Phillips are going to be there. I just talked to Mark the other day that certainly we are going to have Joyce Riley, and hopefully Rodney Stitz will be out of the hospital and be there, that they're going to have Eric Hufschmidt, who we've had as a guest, and looks like a great line of speakers. Now, one or two I would disagree with, but I think that you need to know all aspects of what's going on today. And, of course, I'm not going to be speaking, but I'm going to have a booth there. So if you'd like to know more about it, you'd be interested in going. It's 2 full days. Call 209-832-0999 or go to the website at conspiracycon.com. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon is Colonel Ron Ray. We're talking about really what's happened as far as the attack on Christianity in America today, and it is not accidental. These people aren't interested in the Constitution. They're not preserving the wall of separation that was created by Thomas Jefferson. They have altered the meaning of words because they have a preconceived notion, and that is, if they can destroy the Christian foundation of this nation, they can destroy this nation. America's under attack today. Our ministers, most of them, will not speak out against it because they don't want to be controversial. And even many of our religious leaders will never address what the real issue, and it's not that they don't know that this is a Luciferian movement. They just don't have the courage to talk about that. And so, everybody, Ron, how can people get the material that you have there at First Principles?
Well, they can go on our website and they can get the brief in the Supreme Court and the brief in the Fourth Circuit with the history of prayer in our armed forces going back to the founding period. Get it on the website. They can download it. If they'd like to have in printed form, they can reach us through the website. The address is there, an 800 number. They can reach it, and we'd be happy to do that at a small charge. But they can download both of the briefs right from the website. It's firstprinciplespress.org. That's First Principles, L-E-S, First Principles, Press, P-R-E-S-S.org. And they would find some things in there that will be stunning to them. Let me give an example.
Please do, because I think it's so important. I was really impressed when I read that.
Well, it's amazing. Let me give you a quote from President Theodore Roosevelt, and then I'll make reference to one of the most stunning findings that we had, because we learned, we were aware from having read the Foundations, their power and influence, which we got from a loaned, crazed bookseller in California, you know, who was operating alone now, not with anybody else. There was no conspiracy involved. He was just doing this on his own, and this doctor out there in California, no pun intended, but we had read the Foundations, and we found that despite what Carol Reese was talking about, and it was true what he uncovered, that the American soldier was investigated by one of these very liberal internationalist socialist organizations called the Social Science Research Council, wanted to determine what made our soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines fight during World War II. And they went out and they did field investigations, and they took opinions, and they evaluated literally thousands of our soldiers. And guess what? Guess what they found? That the motivation of prayer was selected as the highest category of anything that sustained them in combat, that sustained them in the difficult time of weather, separation, hardship, and fear. That the motivation, it wasn't individual prayer, it was the unit-led prayer that sustained them. And this data was reported in one of the most comprehensive evaluations of the American military in our history, even by a politically correct group, they published the findings as The American Soldier, Combat and Its Aftermath, published in 1949 by Princeton University Press. So we were sort of stunned to find out that even the other side, those that have been undoing our society, could not ignore the compelling truth that the most important thing that sustained our, in both theaters, they were both in the Pacific and in Europe, and that reference to that is in this on the website, and you need to look at it, and as well as a number of prayers that were given out and provided to the forces from the leaders of the United States throughout the 20th century, from secretaries of state, commandants of the Marine Corps, chiefs of naval operations, presidents of the United States. They actually were asked to name a favorite prayer so it could be published and handed out to our troops, particularly in Korea in World War II, but even in the so-called Banana Wars and in World War I. And the prayers that are there, the manly prayers that are there, a vast majority of them in the name of Jesus Christ, will stun you, in contrast to the watered-down prayers that people are praying today in front of groups. And I've had some examples when I've been given an opportunity in a secular group, a Rotary Club or something, to offer a prayer, that I take this appendix to our brief with me, and instead of making up a prayer, praying in as I might pray privately or something, I tell them a story of, for example, General Bryant, who was superintendent of West Point, and I pray the prayer that he wanted distributed to the fighting forces of Korea, and then after I conclude this very strong and powerful prayer of protection in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I point out that he was later killed in action in Korea. I've never had anybody object to using such a prayer in some very controversial settings when I put it in its historical context and pray a historical prayer from combat leaders in America's wars.
Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment with Colonel Ron Ray. We will welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295.
Our four-tape set on the JFK assassination includes an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Of course, it's not an interview that I did, but it is an interview, and you'll actually hear Lee Harvey Oswald talking before the time of the assassination. A two-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA at the time of the assassination of the American president. And then, of course, my overall analysis of the reasons why President Kennedy was assassinated. There's so much information that has not been put out. And if you listen to this four-tape set, you will begin to understand that there are forces at work behind the scenes which have been able to confuse the American people about the reality of the murder of an American president. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the JFK assassination tapes.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and of course I want to mention that we carry the big Berkey water filters, and if you have the desire to get a water filter, if you want to get water that you know has got very little in the way of pesticides or herbicides or contamination. If you don't like the taste of your water, why, the Big Berkey is an excellent way to go. These have been used for 150 years. They're made out of stainless steel. The filters are ceramic, and of course the water goes through the ceramic. It's porous, and then it goes through activated carbon, and it takes out the bad taste and does a great job. And of course, these are $279. It'll filter about 24 gallons of water a day. 2 gallons in the top comes out the bottom, and it's a great means of purifying your water. And in times like this, ladies and gentlemen, we're in some certain times. Just today, they're coming out talking about the terrorist attacks this summer. I don't know if they're just scaring us to death or if it's real, but you need an alternative source for your water so you can filter pond or pool or river or lake water. You can live without food, but you can't live without water. And then, of course, the tragedy is that the Big Berkey is not available in California or Iowa. However, the Berkey Light is, and the Berkey Light is made of Lexan, and that's what we have. And so you can actually see the level of the water. The filters are even better than the Big Berkey, but they have to be replaced every couple of hours, every couple of years. You can get the Berkey Light's only $199. Now, if you have fluoride in your water, you can take it out with either the Big Berkey or the Berkey Light with the post filters or separate filters. They have to be replaced about every 6 months, but if you get the Berkey Light, you only have to get two of them. The Big Berkey, you have to get four of them. Call us at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, or go to our website at radioliberty.com and look for the Berkey water filters. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Our guest is Colonel Ron Ray, and he was the one who was working with Tom Moore. That was Admiral Thomas Moore, certainly the most venerated of our military leaders. I think he must have been pretty close to 90 when he passed away here this last year, wasn't he, Ron?
He was just a few days from his 93rd birthday, was graduate of the class of 1933 from the Naval Academy, and it was a privilege for me to kind of act as special counsel for he and his group, the Naval Aviation Foundation, over the last 12 years, and who confirmed most of the many of the matters about which you have directly engaged yourself, and much of the information about the history of our time, because he was literally Chief of Naval Operations in the heart of the Vietnam War, SINCPAC fleet before that for 4 years, and then was Chairman of the Joint Chiefs under Richard Nixon, and responsible for the eventual mining of Haiphong Harbor. He pressed that for his whole time in Washington, which brought the Vietnam War to an end, and for the so-called Christmas bombing, which brought out the 591 of the more than 2,000 prisoners that were held in communist hands during the Vietnam War. And I know you gave an advertisement for The Men We Left Behind, which I appreciate your having done that.
All right, fine. Of course, so we have actually an interview with Admiral Moore in our four-tape set on Pearl Harbor, because he was one of the naval officers who was there, a young naval officer, flight officer, back in December of 1941. So what a privilege it was to have a chance to talk to some of these people who are part of history and record their message even after they've gone on to the afterlife. And I'm sure that he is with our Lord today. He was just a dedicated individual, a fine, honorable human being, and a man who would not compromise his principles under any circumstances.
He was a strong Christian, and I saw that evidenced many, many ways. Let me just sort of put this in context. You know, what's really sad is that as the history, our memory has been stolen from a generation. David McCullough, who was a very fine, not a scholar, historian, he writes popular histories that people can enjoy. The one he did on Truman was good, but the one he did on John Adams was really great. And he spoke 2 years ago at the Library of Congress, introduced by our mutual friend Jim Billington, the librarian of the Library of Congress. And in his speech, official speech as the keynote on the National Book Fair, he said, "We're raising a generation of historical illiterates, which is dangerous to American liberty." And he actually said, "Stan, we face a foe today who believes in enforced ignorance, and we don't." And an urban, liberal, probably largely Democratic audience that filled the National Book Fair that day gave him a standing ovation when he said, "We face a foe today who believes in enforced ignorance in this country, and we don't." And that really kind of gave me hope for the idea that that we've gone so far that we could see, you could see an alliance on issues of the Bill of Rights, issues like enforced ignorance, censorship, and those kind of things, where you could see people who consider themselves conservatives and those that would consider themselves liberals would align themselves when we're talking about fundamental attacks on American liberty. But what I think should have happened 40 years ago, when the history was taken out, and some would say it certainly happened in the 30s, they were rewriting history textbooks according to the Rees Committee findings in the 20s, but the World War II generation had been raised with a lot of our history intact. But why didn't the church schools and the private schools take it up? Why didn't individual Christians be sure that their children knew the history when it was slowly taken out of the schools? We have ourselves to blame. Let me give you something from that puts this in context. I love to find very telling quotes from presidents and leaders. Teddy Roosevelt, when he was president of the United States, and we've got our issues with Teddy as you and I have discussed. But this is what he said about the fundamental nature of Christianity in American life. He said, "Every thinking man, when he thinks, realizes that the teachings of the Bible are so interwoven and entwined with our whole civic and social life that it would be literally impossible for us to figure ourselves what that life would be if these standards were removed. We would lose almost all the standards by which we now judge both public and private morals, all the standards which we, with more or less resolution, strive to raise ourselves up to." And so here's a president of the United States saying 100 years ago, declaring that it would literally be impossible to figure out what life would be like if these standards were removed. He's saying what so many of us think. What would our founders think? What would Americans from more than 100 years ago think if they could see that we've let people redefine marriage, you know, which can't be consummated except between a man and a woman, and the one flesh, which is the creation of a child, between that union is impossible with a man and woman. And we could literally have people, you know, now claiming that same-sex couples can be called can be married, and the absurdity of that. But it's all because we have begun to extract out of this out of our social life and out of our legal and civic life. We've almost completed the extraction of Christianity from the heart and soul of America, to where it's privatized in churches and homes to some extent. But that's even, I think, and fear, a very watered-down version.
Well, of course, this is what the church growth movement is all about, is to change the message of the church and change the music of the church. And, you know, I sometimes think that we live in a world gone mad. And as I see these legal decisions coming down saying, we can't offend the minority, after all. If we had a church and a prayer in school, this would be offensive to 1 or 2% of the people. But then they turn around and they preach, you know, teach all about homosexuality and sexuality, and they start teaching it in kindergarten, and they destroy the modesty of our children and the morals of our children and the embarrassment and sexual matters. And anybody objects to that, oh, well, you're intolerant, you're preaching hatred. And, you know, well, what are they are so inconsistent that 2% can force their sexual immorality into our schools, and yet 2% can take God out of our schools. Until people understand there is a conspiracy against God, you can't understand it, because it doesn't make sense otherwise. And when you understand what's going on, then it all begins to fit into a pattern.
Well, now, what we need to do, and your radio show and the work that you've done basically in the second half of your professional life of promoting, books that tell the truth. We need to do just what Herbert Hoover said we needed to do. We need to restore the nation's mentality and its independent judgment. You know, he said when he left office that liberty in America in 1933, when he turned over the presidency to Franklin Roosevelt, he believed the liberty as we'd known it, which he said that's the job of the president. That's what we do, and that's what government is supposed to do, is to preserve our way of life and preserve liberty. And he quoted in the Challenge to Liberty, the first book he wrote after he left office. Notice that here's a president that doesn't write forgettable memoirs to saying how great thou art and how great I was. He struggled with the challenge of liberty, and it took a couple of years, and it comes out, and it says that he said a bureaucracy has already developed a vast ramifying propaganda subtly designed to control American thought and opinion. The constant use of the radio, the platform, the press, by device of exposition, news, and attack with only one point of view, has become a powerful force transforming the nation's mentality and in destroying its independent judgment. What we need to do is have people to begin to be taught that they hold views and opinions which are not their own, and they parrot them back. And they need to be challenged to think independently again, to trust but verify, and to look for alternative sources of news, and to listen to shows like Radio Liberty, and to shut off the box and to quit listening to the propaganda that's been subtly designed to control your thought and opinion.
Well, you know, I often remember the story you tell about General Patton and the prayer at the Battle of the Bulge. Would you like to tell that story? Because prayer was so much an important part of our victory in the Second World War. And, of course, once they destroy prayer, once they destroy belief in God and our military, we're not going to have a military that will fight. In Russia, the only way they could get their people to fight was to have two armies, one on the front lines and another army behind them that shot anybody who turned back. And so you either fought till you died against the people on the other side where you might survive, or you tried to retreat and they would kill you. Because they had no reason to fight other than the brutal force of the communist government, which incidentally was well financed during the Second World War by our own government. In fact, what's really so incredible, the Second World War started because Hitler invaded Poland from the west and Russia invaded Poland from the east. And so what happened? Why, Britain and France and eventually America went to war with Germany, but they didn't go to war with Stalin, who had invaded Poland from the east and was equally responsible for the war. And people don't understand wars are fought for far different reasons than the average man who fights and dies is allowed to know. But the American people have always been inspired by prayer. Could you tell that story about General Patton? Because it's one of my favorites.
Well, I appreciate that very much. Remember that George Patton went through the rat year, the first year at the Virginia Military Institute, and then he did that as a way of preparation for going up to West Point, and when they were harassing him at West Point, he said, "You guys don't even know how to run a real rat line." He was very much a bold and outspoken man. Anyway, when 1944, the winter cold winter hit, and the battle for the Bulge, when the last German counterattack, and they literally had broken through, they surrounded a little town called Bastogne, where the 101st Airborne Division was surrounded. And Patton was trying to break through with the elements of the Third Army to get through there, and they had no air cover. They had no aerial observation, and the roads were nearly impossible to pass, and the Panzer divisions had them blocked. Without air cover, they were not going to get to Bastogne in time. Famous story, General McAuliffe was the commander, and he actually gained some time when the Germans offered the possibility of surrender and said, you're in an impossible situation. You're going to be, you're surrounded, you can't get away, you cannot be relieved, you must surrender. And he wrote back a one-word response. He said, nuts. And the Germans, it took a long time, the translators could not figure out what that response meant. It bought a little bit of time, but in the meantime, after days of impossible weather, Patton called his chaplain forward and asked his chaplain if he would prepare a prayer, that Patton was going to pray, because the leader led in prayer before he led in battle. That's the Joshua formulation going all the way back. You know, you lead in prayer, then you lead them in battle, and the chaplain provides a direct ministry to individual soldiers, but he's not the one that leads in prayer. The combat leader leads in prayer, as Washington did, and commanders in chief did. And so the prayer was written, and as it was portrayed in the film, that's pretty much the way it occurred. And Patton took the prayer, and he actually prayed the prayer on his knees. He prayed on his knees. He prayed that prayer, and the weather forecasts were more of the same, that the weather would be socked in. The American planes wouldn't be able to fly. Well, the next morning, the air was clear. The American planes opened up the way. The bombers blew that road and the obstacles in that road. And, of course, the Third Army linked up with Bastogne before it fell, which was the super crossroads. And if Bastogne had fallen, the German counterattack could well have been successful. And that's just one of hundreds of examples that are in this material, and I hope your listeners would afford themselves the opportunity to go on firstprinciplespress.org and take a look at this. And we've gone through all the inaugural addresses, and that's in the appendix, and many of these prayers are in there. The Eddie Rickenbacker prayer, you know, that he prayed when they were cast at sea and survived after so long, miraculously. I mean, there's stories and prayers in there. The VMI prayer before the Battle of Newmarket, May 15th, 1864, the cadets were actually called by Confederate General Breckinridge from Kentucky to be the reserve for the battle that was going to take place at Newmarket. And he called when the Confederates lost the first round of the battle. He said, "May God permit me, send the boys in." And the boys were led in prayer, and the cadets, the Corps cadets, went into combat and actually captured the Union guns. They obtained their objective, and 15 cadets lost their lives. And they celebrate that every year. In other words, they actually have a battle streamer on their college flag, because they actually fought as a corps of cadets in battle, and prayer was essential to that victory. And it was I'd be very, very sad if the VMI officials and the Virginia governor and attorney general don't restore prayer, as the Supreme Court has given them that opportunity.
Well, of course, the difficulty is that many times the wicked people have gotten into key positions, and whether it be, I don't know anything about the governor or the attorney general or the director at VMI, and I just hope that they will have the courage to stand and do what they should do, understanding the nature of our battle, which is a spiritual battle that is being fought on a political and ideological, and yes, even today on a military battlefield. And until people recognize that, they're just going to keep retreating and retreating and retreating. And the one thing the enemy cannot stand is to be exposed. And I think you're doing such a great job of getting this information out and preparing the briefs and getting them to the Supreme Court. And of course, what you do is you point out that there are different laws for the civilians, for the people in prisons, and for the military. And there's basically three branches of law, and they're all entirely different. And the military law has always been entirely and separate from the civilian law, because, of course, the purpose of the military was to defend our country. Destroy the military, there is no defense for our country, and I really believe this is what it's about.
Well, I concur. And your point, that's called military necessity, and it's the one area the Supreme Court, as anybody, any thinking American knows, has basically encroached upon every aspect of life. They've usurped power from the executive, they've usurped power particularly from the Congress. But the one place they have not gone is they have not tried to run the military. And they have deferred. They still follow the deferral that's called military necessity. So every Supreme Court case that is considered a challenge, even as recently as the 80s, there was a challenge from a major, a Jewish major, Orthodox major, who wanted to wear his yarmulke indoors on one of the high Jewish holy days, and believed he ought to be able to do that, and the military holds that uniformity means uniformity. Everybody wears the same uniform in each of the services, and that went all the way to the Supreme Court, and it was a 1986 case, and it happens to be the same court that decided Bowers versus Hardwick, which upheld the Georgia sodomy statute. But this was the Burger Court, and they held 6-3 that the uniformity of standards is essential to the military, and the senior military commanders, we're going to defer to that. We're not going to substitute our judgment, and we're not going to apply the First Amendment or the Bill of Rights the same way in the military as we do to the larger civilian society. So that's judicial deference. We're hopeful that we brought some attention to that in Kentucky. We've got a congressman named Ron Lewis who's introduced a bill to restore Congress's ability to limit the jurisdiction of the Supreme Court. It gets some press. I don't know whether it's going to get out of committee or not.
Well, I think that it's only going to get out of committee if there are enough people out here that really care and will get involved, become informed, go to First Principles Press, get their material, and then, of course, help Colonel Ray, who's on the front lines of this battle. And it's all the same battle. It's all this spiritual battle we're talking about. Colonel, thank you so much for being with us. It's always a pleasure.
Dan, I really appreciate it. Keep up the good work, and I look forward to seeing you in the near future.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Yes, sir. Good night.
Have you ever wondered what really happened at Waco? Have you ever wondered if maybe the government was not giving you the full story? Well, there is the most amazing video. It's called Waco, The Rules of Engagement, 2.5 gripping hours of the story of a government onslaught into a group of peaceable people. Now, their religion may be different than yours and mine, but they were still Christians, they still believed in the Bible, and they believed that the government would one day become their enemy and destroy them. Well, Waco, The Rules of Engagement is a video that everybody who loves freedom should see, because the ultimate conclusion is the government did not want them to come out. The government did everything they could to keep them from coming out, to antagonize them, loud music, lights all the time, to totally create a situation where they could not think clearly or would respond normally. Waco, The Rules of Engagement is currently unavailable at the regular sources. Call 1-800-5-HIB-WAR right now.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and let me tell you a couple of things. First of all, we carry something called Miracle 2 soap, and Miracle 2 soap, we can't make any claims for it, but we can tell you that an awful lot of people use this, tell us that it really does wonderful and miraculous things for them as far as their rashes and itching and aches and pains and acne and just about everything. This is, of course, the gel that they use, and then, of course, there's a lotion. There's a moisturizing soap, and if you've got sort of a calloused elbows or hard, harsh skin any place, this, I think I'll tell you, it's loosened up the skin for me, things that I've had for the better part of 75 years. Suddenly, that skin is softer, and I wouldn't be without my Miracle 2 moisturizing soap. My wife uses the regular soap for all sorts of things, and the people tell me it has all sorts of advantages, even over and above cleaning. But you'll just have to try these products yourself, the Miracle 2 soap product. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. And then we also carry something called Phenopoly. And Phenopoly is a program designed to teach you and your children and your grandchildren how to read and spell and pronounce words phonetically. And with Phenopoly, it's a board game. It's played just like Monopoly. And children have a great deal of fun playing this game. And in the process, they learn the basic sounds of the English language. They learn how to take a word apart and then be able to sound it out. And that's why children who are trained phonetically grammatically can spell so well, and those who are not cannot. Then there's 12 basic rules in the English language, and when you know those, you know why words are spelled the way they are. So, a Phonopoly, most of these programs, $300, $400, $500, $600. This is $139.95 plus shipping. We've recommended, we put them out. We believe it's a great program to teach children phonics. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, Phonopoly. Well, Dr. Stan back here, and this is the time when I have to remind you that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. And if you were out there in the listening audience, we hope that many of you will decide you're going to join the Radio Liberty family, because that's how we're able to do what we do 5 hours every day. Starting at 7 in the morning and going until 10 in the evening, we have an opportunity on 60 different outlets every week to reach people either by shortwave or by radio or by internet or by satellite, and what a wonderful privilege it is, really, to be able to bring ideas that you're never going to get through regular channels. People aren't going to talk about the satanic societies, the satanic movement, the Luciferian organizations, which are working at the highest levels of our government. Do you realize that there are over 2 million Americans who belong to a secret society? And when they join that secret society, they promise to have their tongue ripped out and their heart cut out and their entrails cut out and burned and fed to the birds if they ever reveal any of their secrets. Why would people do things like that? Why? Because they don't understand that this is a Luciferian movement they're part of. And many of them never understand because they are confused during their whole lives, and nobody ever tells them. That's why you need to get my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness, or the video, The Brotherhood of Darkness, and show it to your friends who are in this secret society. 2 million members in the United States. You used to have 6 million members, but there's down to about 2 million members now. Six of our last 12 presidents either are members of this secret society or were affiliated with it. And nobody ever will talk about it because they're quite frankly afraid, and ministers won't talk about it because every minister who does is forced out of his ministry. That's the truth of the matter here in the United States. So we talk about it, and so far God has protected us, but I'm not going to be on the air and not tell you about these organizations. You need to get my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to get our books on Masonry, and you need to get our books on Crowleyism, Aleister Crowley and his friends, a wonderful four-tape set. We have a four-tape set on Satanism and deliverance. Where you'll actually hear discussion with a woman who was raised in a satanic family. And there really are satanic groups right here in the United States today operating sometimes at the various highest levels of society, and they have an intense hatred for Christianity, and that is why Christianity is under attack today. We hope that many of you will go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. You can get all of the books we carry, and we carry hundreds of books, but each one tells part of this overall amazing story about the secret societies which dominate America today. And the reason you never hear about them is because they control the media, and by controlling the media, both the liberal and conservative sides, they're able to conceal the existence of these movements. So our website is RadioLiberty.com. Go there. You can certainly listen to our programs there, either directly 3 hours a day or links to the other two networks we do, first of all, at 7 o'clock in the morning Pacific time and then at 3 in the afternoon Pacific time. That's RadioLiberty.com. Pull down our newsletters and read them and check the sources of information. Look at the various items we have and the tape sets and the videos that we have actually produced. And then, of course, tell others about our ministry. That's your job, because I can only reach a certain number of people, but I can tell you our ministry is growing. More and more people are becoming aware, and those of you who are members of the Radio Liberty family are helping us in this epic struggle to determine whether this nation or any nation conceived under God can long endure. And then, of course, we hope many of you will want to get the video Diaprax in the Church about the church growth movement and how it's aimed at changing the way Christianity is presented, and not telling people that they're sinners saved by grace, but that God is only a God of love and God loves everybody and nobody's ever going to go to hell, because no loving God would ever want to punish anybody just because they had embraced the dark side or were sinful. And after all, don't we all make mistakes? And a message that is totally in violation of God's word. Chiropractic in the Church, a video. The Church Growth Movement, a 4-tape set. And then our video, Megiddo, the March to Armageddon, and so many other items. Well, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Pray for America. Pray for our leaders and our ministers. Please remember to pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.